Well, something momentous happened just after midnight last night in the Navajo Nation, 27,000 square miles that span Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, with 300,000 enrolled members. The Navajo Nation Council voted in a tiebreaker to remove the requirement that presidential candidates be fluent in the Navajo language. Now, this came after weeks of controversy and debate, and late last night, after a three-hour recess for the solar eclipse. Now, you may have heard what's going on here. One of two presidential candidates, Chris Desheeney, had refused to demonstrate whether he was fluent in the Navajo language. And earlier this week, the Navajo Nation Supreme Court upheld a lower court ruling barring him from the ballot. And now, as we said, the Navajo Council has overturned that. Candace Bagoti is the editor of the Navajo Times, the reservation's only newspaper. She joins us from the Navajo Nation capital, Window Rock, Arizona. So, Candace, interesting that there was this 10-10 tie that needed a tiebreaker to break it, because you tell us that there's an equal divide in the nation over this issue of fluency.
Yes, ma'am. You have the younger generations. You have the urban Navajos who most of them are, a lot of them are going to school off the reservation, and a lot of them are in support of Mr. Desheeney. And then you have those who, the older generations, as well as, you know, the traditional Navajos who are against Mr. Desheeney. And so I think it is safe to say that there is definitely a divide among the people here.
Well, and it would seem to make sense, but the older generation wants to keep the fluency requirement because they want to keep the language alive. Is the language threatened? I mean, how many members of the nation speak it?
Obviously, a lot of the older generations do speak the Navajo language, but there are also a lot of Navajos, older generations, who, you know, don't believe that the Navajo language is going to survive in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So, you know, I can't say for sure how many people do speak the Navajo language, but it is definitely one of the languages that is still thriving, even though a lot of people do not speak Navajo. So it's definitely been an interesting debate.
Yeah. Well, what's been the reaction then to the council overturning this requirement that the president of the Navajo Nation speak that language?
We have passionate people on both sides, so we have those that do speak the Navajo language. You know, they're very upset, very disappointed in our leaders. A lot of things that are coming out now, you know, a lot of our council delegates, some of them don't speak Navajo, and our speaker pro tem, he doesn't speak Navajo, so he was actually the one that broke the tie. And then you have those who, you know, who are very happy that this has been overturned, but the battle's not over.
Well, and do you worry about that? We met you through our web producer, Rachel Rohr, who was on her trip cross-country speaking to young people and stopped at the Navajo Nation. And you told her then that there was growing discontent with the leadership that's in place. There have been charges of corruption.
Yeah.
And you were concerned about the possibility of violence. Are you still?
Well, now I think, you know, I think it sort of calmed down a little bit from those that are in support of Mr. Desheeney. But I think that there still is potential for that because we have passionate people, you know. And I think everyone can agree that the Navajo language is important. It's just whether or not that should be a requirement for someone who is going to run for president, because this is an argument that I've heard, that when the president is meeting with state or, you know, federal officials, he or she will not be speaking in the Navajo language, but rather they need to be, you know, articulate and really know how the government works, not just tribal, but state, official, and county.
So now we have what seems like a potential race between former President Joe Shirley, he had previously served two terms, and Chris Desheeney, who it seems as if the council has cleared the way for him to run. Could he do something? Could Desheeney do something like, say, he's going to learn the language? I mean, could he possibly hold out some sort of a peace symbol by becoming more fluent in the language and please everyone?
Yeah, well, he has actually been learning the Navajo language, and I have seen him personally speak to a crowd of people, and he has come a long, long way. I have observed that he has been learning. He knows more Navajo than a lot of young people, and probably more than, you know, some of our sitting council members.
Well, meanwhile, I've been on your newspaper's Facebook page. A lot of comments there. One woman thanking the council for protecting her vote because Chris Desheeney and Joe Shirley both won the primary, so she feels that her vote for him at that time was protected. Somebody else commenting on the eclipse. Now, we know that the council took a break out of respect for the eclipse last night. Mike Jones writes, traditional teachings teach us that the eclipse is a time of renewal and rejuvenation. Hint, hint to our Navajo Nation Council. In other words, perhaps the eclipse is telling you we need to do something new. Just comment for a second on the eclipse. Why did the council break?
Well, it's a time when traditionals, we observe that time. We don't do anything. We stay indoors. We are, you know, we don't eat. We don't drink. We really just sort of keep to ourselves. We don't work, you know, under the light. And it's just all out of respect for the holy people and the universe. Mm. And so it's really just a time to, you know, respect everything around us.
Fascinating. Candace Bigotti, editor of the Navajo Times, joining us from the Navajo Nation capital, Window Rock, Arizona, to talk about their presidential election. Candace, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.